Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers put a beat down on the Diamondbacks. We'll talk about the top of the order. We'll talk about Mitch White, and we'll look at the news and notes from around the team. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. I want to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. And make sure to subscribe wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube so you don't miss a day, because you don't, we're not going to. I'm Vince Samperio, and if this is your first time listening or watching, I am one of the hosts of Locked On Dodgers. My other co-host, Jeff Snyder, is not here today, but I'll be here to handle everything about Thursday's big win and everything else that comes with it. We are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you, but we've also spent some time in the press box and locker room, but we're not quite insiders. But either way, we're bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our Boys in Blue every weekday morning. Go ahead and find us by searching for Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcast, and on YouTube. Let's talk some Dodgers. The Dodgers put up some big offensive numbers last night against the Diamondbacks. They put up 14 runs. They put up, they ended up with 24 hits. And yeah, just were from inning one through inning nine, the Dodgers were putting up runs. They scored in five different innings, multiple runs in each of those innings. And where it came from, you know, where the big nights were, we're at the top of the order. You had Mookie Betts, three hits, 3 for 5, 3 runs scored. You had Freddie Freeman, 4 for 5, 5 RBI, 3 runs scored. You had Trey Turner, 2 for 4, 1 RBI, 1 run scored. And even Will Smith, 2 for 5, 1 run scored, 2 RBIs. And then you had Cody Bellinger with a night down at the bottom, 3 for 6 with 3 RBIs. Chris Taylor, 3 for 6 with 3 RBIs. So total team effort. Everyone had at least one hit in the starting lineup. And just one of those games that's just pure fun. Like I said, from the get-go, Dodgers first two batters, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, already up 1-0, and it just went from there. But what I wanted to talk about specifically is just that top of the order in Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Trey Turner, and how fun they've been. I mean, you go and you look at how they've done so far this year in general, like year-to-date, and, you know, the top three people with at-bats on the Dodgers currently: Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner, Mookie Betts. Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner actually have the same amount of at-bats, 170. Mookie Betts at 167. But I'm just going to run through some slash lines. Freddie Freeman's hitting 312 Freddie Freeman's hitting 312 with an 899 OPS. Trey Turner, 294, 794 OPS. Mookie Betts, 299, 973 OPS. And that's three guys at your top of the order that are nearly at 300, nearly at OPSs, 800 or higher. Trey Turner, slow start, but is getting there. And guys that are just able to start the offense how you need to. And this is one of the reasons the Dodgers have the top offense, or one of the top offenses in baseball, is because of these three at the top. And then you just go to the last 2 weeks when the Dodgers have, you know, been offensively, been on fire. You got Freddie Freeman hitting 306 with 15 RBI and 878 OPS in the last 15 games. You got Mookie Betts hitting 390 with a 1.359 OPS, 7 home runs, 17 RBIs in the last 15 games. And you got Trey Turner hitting 362 with a 1.002 OPS, 2 home runs, 14 RBIs in the last 15 games. And even if you want to tack onto that, Chris Taylor, Justin Turner both have double-digit RBI in the last 15 games, both OPSing over 800. So the Dodgers offense has been clicking, but it's been the top of the order: Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Trey Turner. And it's one of those where, yeah, obviously you think Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Trey Turner are going to be hitting, but hadn't been that way. You know, Mookie Betts started off really slow, and then obviously picked it up in the last month or so. Freddie Freeman's been the constant in that two spot. been the guy that's you know, been hitting 300 with an OPS over 800 for pretty much the entire season. But he's ramped it up. I saw a stat. I think he has the most doubles through however many games I was at, 43, 44, in team history, or tied for it, somewhere near that. So, you know, Freddie Freeman doing his thing. And then you got Trey Turner, who started decent, had a little bit of a rough patch, and then has picked it up lately, you know, in that number three hole and picking up Mookie and Freddie when need be. And then, you know, you drop down the next one, and you got Will Smith, who's been batting fourth for the most part when he's in the starting lineup. And, you know, Will Smith has been one of the best hitting catchers in all of baseball the last few years. Will Smith is a guy that hits the ball hard consistently, a little bit unlucky. And imagine if Will Smith, you know, started getting some luck, he'd be, again, right up there talking about one of the best players in baseball, especially from the catcher position. So it's been fun to see. And I think, these guys are having fun. You know, Mookie Betts and Fred Freeman are around for the next, 6 years at the very least. Mookie Betts more. Trey Turner's one where we're not quite sure how long we're going to get to see this. So, you know, you got to enjoy while you can. But it's also one of those things where if you're Trey Turner, why wouldn't you want to stick around with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and the rest of this offense and, you know, see what you can do? Obviously, it's a two-way street. The Dodgers will also have to want him back and pay him competitively. But it's a matter of, you know, you can see what can be done. Obviously, the Dodgers would need to get it done in October as well. And you know, in that case, obviously, there's no team that you can guarantee to go to and you're going to win in October. But there is one team at this point where you can go to and guarantee yourself a chance in October, and that's the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are the only team that's been in the playoffs the last 9 years, looking to make that 10 years this season. And, you know, it's hard to not want to see that. So it's been fun, and it's fun. You know, the Dodgers offense gets started pretty quick all the time. When you got Mookie and Freddie, and, you know, Mookie's at this point has been Mookie getting on, Freddie hitting him in, and then it's just a matter of, is Trey going to hit him in for a second run, or is Trey going to hit in Mookie for the first run? Whatever the case is, it's just a matter of who's going to bring in Mookie the last few weeks. So, yeah, it's fun. And, you know, I was talking to a friend that's a Giants fan the other day, and you know, he was kind of talking about how the Giants were scuffling for a little bit, and how he thinks some of the magic from last year's gone. And, you know, I just want that superstar. And you know, I didn't feel bad for him, but I was just like, you know, as far as we know in terms of how Farhan and them did it over here, or did it as GM of the Dodgers, and how they played it, was to build everything up. And then once it was built up, you know, some of those guys, the Muncies, the Taylors, the Justin Turners, they figured things out, and they're on the cheap. And then the Dodgers started adding superstar talent around them in order to supplement it. But then you go on, and it's not just adding superstar talent. The Dodgers have added Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner, you know, top players at their respective positions, if not top three, you know, maybe down to top five, but top three for sure, at least this season so far, in terms of, you know, at their respective positions. So it's fun. You know, and we shouldn't get hung up on thinking about the future or anything else. Think about it in the now, and the Dodgers putting up 14 runs and 24 runs with those guys doing majority of the damage is the fun part. So, yeah, that's really all it is to say. I mean, you see the smile on the face. You saw how fun it was last night. That, you know, not all games are going to be like that. Obviously, they just lost 1-0 the night before. Mookie Betts only got one at bat in that game, but either way, you know, it's not always going to happen, but when it does happen, man, it's a beautiful thing. So we'll keep tabs on that and see how this trio does. You know, we talked about MVP last week, and, you know, it is a matter of these guys could potentially take some votes away from each other, but we won't worry about that. We're not worried about individual words over here. So we're going to talk about, just around the team, news and notes, and Max Muncy potentially going on the injured list and what that means for the offense and what that means for the lineup moving forward. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar, we got some new stuff here. And Built Bar, we know that they have Built Bars, the protein bars. We know they have Built Puffs, the first protein-infused marshmallow. But now we got Built Granola Bars. If you've been asking for it, they're here. Built Granola Bars come in three flavors right now: chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. All of those sound delicious. If you want to try all three flavors, you can get a mixed box at built.com right now. Check them out. Loaded with granola. Good for you. Around 150 calories, 15 grams protein, only 4 grams sugar. Built granola bars will change your world and give you just another reason to love Built and the Built family. And as always, you can get 15% off your order at built.com with the promo code LOCK15. So go to built.com, get you some Built granola bars, get 15% off with the promo code LOCKED15. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, because the Locked On Podcast Network is the only network that can take fans through the season like this. The Locked On Now podcast has recaps of MLB games with analysis from local experts, Jeff Snyder being one of those local experts usually. So it's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Go check it out. Okay, so we got to the news on Thursday. Dave Roberts said that Muncy has been dealing with some left elbow discomfort coming after he hit up against the wall in the series opener against the Nationals on Monday. We know Max Muncy had been struggling this entire season, and his elbow injury from the last game of the season last year, we believed it was lingering or thought it might have some issue with it. They finally kind of admitted to that, and this little brush up with the wall exacerbated it. Max Muncy looks like he's heading for the injured list. Kevin Pillar was in town and is currently sitting on the taxi squad in case they do make that happen. First off the bat, if Max Muncy does go on the injured list and then Kevin Pillar does come on, we've talked about multiple times how Kevin Pillar is not on the 40-man roster, so the Dodgers would have to make a move. At this point, knowing, you know, just being able to retroactively do it, you know, Andrew Heaney can go on the 60-day IL. Doesn't seem like he's going to be back in the next 3 weeks anyways. He's already been out for a while, so they could do that. Tommy Canley, another guy who doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon, can also be pushed to the 60-day IL, and the Dodgers would be able to get Pilar on the open, on not open, on the active roster. And we talked about yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever it was, about Pilar and Lamb, and how, you know, if you want to bring them up, it wouldn't be for a small stint. And I don't know if that's the case here. You know, I don't remember if Pilar had an opt-out date, when it was exactly. You know, is this a matter of Muncy's going to be out the 15 days, Pilar's going to come up, and then, you know, maybe he was going to opt out anyways to say, you know what, stick around, we're going to put you up right now and see what you do. Or if it's a matter of, you know, Max Muncy might miss a little bit more time than we're led to believe, or from what we were told. There wasn't necessarily a timeline, but, you know, just kind of based on what we thought about Max Muncy. And yeah, obviously it sucks to see Max Muncy have to go on the injured list, but it also hasn't been that fun watching him at the plate this year. So maybe it's a matter of this is something he needs, and that's just how it goes. And you know, Robert said that Muncy doesn't want to go on the injured list. He says, but I think potentially for him and for us, it might be the best course of action. You know, Muncy said from the beginning that it might have caused him an issue, but he's not going to make any excuses. Dave Roberts said, to say that he can play physically, yes, but is it impeding his performance and potentially his health? Probably, most likely. And that's where it sits. You know, if it's going to make him, you know, if it's a matter of Max Muncy goes on the injured list for 4 to 6 weeks and can potentially be the guy he was that we've known as his time in the Dodgers, then yeah, you take those 4 to 6 weeks and you see what happens. You know, rather than him trying to play through it to be the tough guy and we get a sub 600 OPS rest of the season, that's not going to help the Dodgers out. The Dodgers need Max Muncy to be right in order to, you know, be stronger in October and for that World Series push. So they need Max Muncy to get right, and this is the perfect time for that to happen. The rest of the offense is rolling, so to say. We just talked about the top of the order. You know, Chris Taylor's been good lately. Justin Turner's been good lately. You know, Cody Bellinger had a good night last night. He's had good games here and there. You know, other guys can sprinkle in their good games, and the offense will be fine without Max Muncy. It's been fine enough without Max Muncy for the most part this year, other than him getting on base via walk. There hasn't been too much contribution from him on the offensive side anyways. So, you know, unfortunately, that's just the nature of the situation. But what does it mean for the starting lineup now that Max Muncy, if he does go on the injured list, somebody that's been playing second, third, and DH. You know, the easiest thing is just to slot in Edwin Rios and Hanser Alberto at times, or Kevin Pillar. I think it might be a matter of, you know, they're going to have the rotation to get guys' days off anyway. But I guess essentially, you know, Rios Pillar could become a platoon of sorts in the sense that one of them will be in the starting lineup every day. Rios probably mostly at DH. And then Kevin Pillar in left field. When Kevin Pillar plays left field, that means Chris Taylor can come into the infield or DH, or even Kevin Pillar can DH if they believe that Taylor's defense is a little bit better out there in left, or even, I wouldn't say Gavin Lux is, but, you know, potentially Gavin Lux as well out there in left field. So, I mean, that's just the easy way to put it. And I know Jeff talked about Edwin Rios getting more at-bats might not necessarily be a thing that is the right thing to, is Edwin Rios as good as he's been looking, or is Edwin Rios as hot as he, you know, was it a hot streak, or was that who he is? And it looks like we might find out, because he's going to get more time, more plate appearances. You know, even he started every game in the National Series, and while he didn't light the world on fire like he did in Pittsburgh, he did have a few hits here and there. And, you know, at the very least, like we mentioned with him, is he's going to run into one at least every four or five games. So at the very least, you're going to get a home run every four to five games, and probably in a bigger situation than or probably in a big situation. So as long as that happens, he'll be fine with it. Kevin Pillar is an interesting one. You know, I'm not, he was raking down there in AAA, but was that a matter of a veteran player just being good in AAA, or is that a matter of, you know, he came to the Dodgers because he saw how people's careers have been rejuvenated, or swings have been found and stuff like that. You know, I don't know. Did he work on something specifically with the Dodgers so far that's going to make him better in the major leagues? We're about to find out that as well if all this ends up happening. So, you know, at this point, I know Jeff mentioned that for some reason he's not the biggest Kevin Pillar fan, but at this point, everyone on the Dodgers side is the biggest Kevin Pillar fan, because we want him to be successful and we want him to do well if he gets this chance. So it's not going to be a detriment to the offense for the time being. You know, even if Edwin Rios and Kevin Pillar get most of that bats that Max Muncy was getting, it's very hard to say that they're not going to be as productive as Max Muncy was in his current state, because what that is in his current state is a guy that's hitting 150 with a 590 OPS and, you know, 3 home runs, 14 RBIs, not too much added there. So they'll miss on base for sure, but even, you know, even in the on base part, Max Muncy doesn't, even with him getting on base as often as he does, he's still 5th in runs scored on the Dodgers with, you know, on-base percentage up there at, you know, he's like 6th in on-base percentage on the Dodgers, even with the way he, you know, leads the league, or leads the team in walks, might lead the league in walks, or be up near the team leaders, or league leaders in walks. So the Dodgers offense will be fine, and it'll be much better if Max Muncy comes back healthy and ready to go. So that's where we're at. Let's talk about Mitch White. Let's talk about how long Mitch White's going to be in the rotation because we have some updates on some injuries. But first, let's talk about BetOnline, because BetOnline continues to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. And BetOnline.net has all the latest odds, all the latest news, and all the latest sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, MLB baseball, MLB scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. You can find stuff on upcoming tennis tournaments, golf tournaments, fights, like I said, MLB season, basketball playoffs, now that they're close to the NBA finals, NFL futures, everything you could possibly want in terms of sports knowledge is there at betonline.net and sports odds. So it's your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They also have live betting. You can look at playoffs, you can look at esports, and you can look at a lot more. So head over to the website today on your laptop or mobile device and learn more about the trends and more about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so we have some small updates, news and notes from around the team in terms of the injuries. Clayton Kershaw, as we know, was already on a bit of a setback. He hasn't been with the Dodgers on this road trip so far. He stayed, or he went to Texas to rest and allow the epidural that he received more of a chance to take effect. Kershaw kind of mentioned that he didn't want to admit that he was hurt, so he tried to keep going. Then he realized he needed time. He's been playing catch. Could have a bullpen session next week if everything goes well. But it's still going to take him at least a month at the very least to get back, I would imagine, with probably two bullpen sessions and then a sim game and then a rehab assignment and then maybe back with the Dodgers. So it's going to be a while. But, you know, we'll talk about Mitch Wayne a little bit and how the Dodgers will be able to at least push forward for now. You know, we've talked about Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson this week. That's a big reason for it. Walker Buehler, Julio Diaz have been better of late, or at least good enough. And, you know, that's four viable starters. Now you're just looking for that fifth viable starter. In terms of Andrew Heaney coming back, it looks like he'll be back sooner than Kershaw now, which I would hope so. He was out before Kershaw. Heaney threw a bullpen. He simulated three innings off a mound on Thursday. Could face hitters in a sim game on, I think, this weekend, Saturday or Sunday, probably Sunday. And then he would need, probably after that same game would be rehab assignment, would probably need 2 to 3 rehab starts and then come back depending on how much they want to build him up before he comes back. So we could see Heaney back by the end of June. I don't know if we'll see Kershaw back by the end of June. That's where we're at there. Blake Treinen still hasn't picked up a baseball. We talked about him with the extension the other day, how it looks. You know, I wouldn't count on Blake Treinen being back this season. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. Tommy Canley hasn't played catch yet, but they still say he could come back at some point this summer. Throw him along with Victor Gonzalez as, and Blake Treinen as could be back sometime this summer. And then, you know, Caleb Ferguson, healthy, but option down. Once he figures things out, he'll probably be back. So that's where the update's at there. But that leads to the question of the Dodgers' fifth starter. Dave Roberts mentioned that they're going to give everybody an extra day off, so Ryan Pepiot might get another start. But in terms of who's going to be out there every fifth day for the Dodgers, looks like Mitch White for now. He's continuing to build up. He pitched 4 innings last night, didn't give up any runs, and he's been a guy with an interesting case for a while now. He's kind of taken on, and we still call it the Ross Stripling role of starting, relieving, basically whatever the Dodgers need, and he's kind of in that middle ground area. He, you know, has been an effective pitcher, and it, you know, if you break it down, he has a 3.72 ERA in his career, 30 games pitched, 6 starts. If you break it down into starter reliever, which might be a little bit unfair to him, just because of the fact of he's made 6 starts in his career, he has a 5.64 ERA in those 6 starts. As a reliever, he's been in 24 games and has a 2.72 ERA. So if you look at the raw numbers there, you know, obviously you're like, oh, he's better as a reliever. But, you know, he has 43 innings pitched. 7 of those innings came in 1 relief appearance or 8. He went 7 or 8 last year scoreless against the Pirates in relief, which was, in theory, a start. Even if he gives up a couple runs in the first, it's still, you know, 7, 8 innings with 1 or 2 runs allowed. It's more than you can ask for from your fifth starter. And I think you just got to kind of got to look at the surface or beyond the surface on those numbers. You know, 6 games started, 2 of these this year, 4 of those last year. Last year, he gave up at least 2 runs in every start and didn't go that deep because he wasn't as stretched out. So he's never gone 5 innings as a starter, which is not necessarily his fault. The Dodgers, you know, you have to be built up to go at least 5 innings, and he's never been built up, or he's been built up to go more than 5 innings, but never when the Dodgers use him as a starter. And then if they have, he has struggled a little bit at times. You know, last year I think there was maybe 2 starts where he was built up and just couldn't come through in terms of length. But he's a guy that can pitch effectively. And I think the big difference as a reliever even if you're a multi-inning reliever, you know you're probably not going to go more than three or four innings, and you can play up your stuff a little bit more. You can focus a little bit more on like one, two pitches because you might not see the same guy. You know, if you pitch well enough, you can go three innings without seeing the same person through a lineup. And if you pitch decent enough, you can, you know, maybe get by with only a couple of those guys seeing you multiple times in a game. So when it comes to starting pitching, it's a little bit different. He's got to pitch a little bit different, sequencing. He needs to have sharpness of his pitches. You know, he's got to have at least two pitches. Mitch White's fastball is not good enough to get by. His curveball might be good enough to get by. Like, you know, if the fastball is decent enough or he has somewhat command of it, but he has really good command of the curveball, he could be a guy that can give you five innings, maybe one and a half times through lineup, two times through lineup, maybe. But it's just a matter of starting pitching is different. And now that he knows, you know, I'm sure the Dodgers have talked to him, and I'm sure he knows that, hey, you're going to be starting, and you're going to have at least, I would say, at least two more starts, probably even three or four, just depending on how long it takes Heaney and Kershaw to come back. He's building up. You know, Mitch White's building up. He can, he'll probably, I think he was at around 50 pitches last night. He'll probably bump it up to 60 to 75 next game, you know, 75, 90 then the game after, and then be built up fully after that. So, you know, the Dodgers are going to expect to get more out of him. You know, four innings was good this game. He was pitching pretty well early on in the, against the Phillies, but like I said, that second time through the lineup is just where it seemed to get him, and he lost a little bit, lost command of the curveball, so then he had to throw more fastballs, and you know, that's when Rhys Hoskins or Alec Bohm or whoever it was hit a home run off him. The Phillies have a lot of similar looking guys. So can the Dodgers get by with Mitch White as a fifth starter? Absolutely. I think as he continues to build up and knows his role as a starter, at least for the time being, that he'll be able to figure it out. He has good stuff. And, you know, whether you're starting or relieving, if you're going multiple innings in relief appearances, that's similar to starting. And I don't think it's the jitters of starting that's getting to him or has got to him in the past when he started games. I think it's just a matter of, you know, figuring it out. And for a young player to have to figure that out and the way he's had to do it is not always easy. We think it's easy, or it looks easy on the surface because you're just pitching. But, you know, if you talk to Ross Stripling or if you talk to other guys in the past who have had to, you know, handle the role of starter and reliever, especially coming out from the minors, you know, a guy later in his career, you kind of figure out your routine. It might take you a little, it might be a little harder to get, you know, starter reliever, kind of like David Price now. You know, he knows what he needs to do when he's a starter. His thing when he started pitching for the Dodgers now is, what do I need to do when I come in as a reliever? But he also knew that from early in his career when he came up with the Rays in his first season and he was a reliever. So he's had that benefit. You know, he came up, I'm a reliever for now, but I'm going to be a starter. Mitch White didn't necessarily know, I'm kind of a reliever now and a spot starter potentially. It's hard. And you know, if he figures it out and if he's good enough, he's now the de facto fifth starter. And what you need out of a fifth starter is length and decent enough pitching. You know, a four or five to five ERA, you know, five innings, two to three runs, five, six innings, two to three runs, maybe even four or five runs with this Dodger offense. You know, last night he could have allowed 10 runs and the Dodgers still would have won by three. So that's just the way it goes. But yeah, that's where we're at. Mitch White, I believe in him being good enough until Heaney and Kershaw come back. And then the Dodgers, you know, with Pepio and then Mitch White and then, you know, Andre Jackson still there. They'll be able to get through these times with their starting pitching as long as nobody else gets hurt. If somebody else gets hurt, they're going to maybe have to look to bring in some reinforcements, whether via trade or try to find Johnny Cueto. The White Sox found him, and he's had a couple good starts for them. I'm sure he'll have a bad start at some point, but, you know, there are veteran guys out there that can come and give you a boost for like a month or so. So it's very possible, but that's where we're at now. Salute and good luck to Mitch White. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Make sure to check out Locked On MLB. with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He brings humor, passion, and a unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. So number one, daily league-wide podcast. Check it out wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. If you want to find us, we are on social media. Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. The DMs are open on all those accounts to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.